Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Garrett sounding deeper and more serious than usual because I have the con crud. That's not going to stop me, however, from recording this and telling you that what you're about to hear is Patrick Beja and myself talking about our first impressions of World of Warcraft Shadowlands, Diablo 4, and a little bit of Overwatch 2. This was recorded live on the floor of BlizzCon, as you are about to hear. That said, I'm pretty happy with how much background noise I was able to remove from this, so I hope you enjoy.
Hey, Garrett.
Hey, Patrick. Where are we?
We are at BlizzCon.
We are at BlizzCon, and that's why you're hearing some background noise, because they don't, you know, there's nowhere quiet to record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess people listening already know we are at BlizzCon because Scott probably put an intro to this.
I would friggin' hope so. Or you put an intro to it, or I put it, depending on what feeds it.
There will be an intro.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're literally sitting in a hallway outside the media room, and there's just so much to talk about.
And we only have 20 minutes to do it.
Well, we could start recording again, and yeah.
Oh,
anyways,
okay.
Yeah, so we are on a show called The Instance, which is technically a World of Warcraft podcast, even though it talks about everything. So maybe we should start there. How are you feeling about Shadowlands?
You know, I wasn't really feeling it initially because I haven't been into WoW for a little while. BFA was not working for me so much. And I watched one of the panels yesterday, and we went to the deep dive panel today, and they are doing a lot of interesting things. I'm assuming that people listening to this have seen the trailer and the cinematic, and so we're not going to go into that. But the systems are focused, and something that we started discussing with the success of WoW Classic, which we didn't really think was going to happen necessarily, was the bringing back some of the more traditional WoW elements into the next expansion is happening. They are doing a lot of unrolling some of the things that they pushed over from, you know, the past two expansions.
That's also what I am so fascinated by, like outside of the lore stuff, because let's face it, that cinematic was basically pornography aimed
for
at
you.
Me. Yeah. But we've been talking about this a little bit on the show. I feel like it's been coming up more and more, but like when you're not around for some reason. But I know I've mentioned this to Scott, is that I am really anxious to see the lessons they're learning from Classic being applied to retail. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing.
And the interesting thing is that they didn't, you know, wait for Classic to come out and go like, oh, it's people like it. Because obviously development started way before 2 months ago when Classic came out. So I guess they've been doing a lot of deep reflection about the issues that BFA and other versions of the game had, and decided, I don't think they're going to be bringing back everything, obviously, but there are things like the end game zone. They've been very insistent on the idea that it is going to be more dangerous and challenging than things have been in the past. The class identity rather than spec identity is something they've been focusing on a lot. Just the focus of the features in the expansion, you know, when we came out of the presentation for BFA, probably, you know, a year ago, there was a lot of things that seemed kind of cool, but we weren't sure what they were going to be. And it was like a scattershot approach. There were five features. And in this one, there's like two, but they're really, interesting and developed.
Yeah, I was like sitting there kind of like, okay, and what's the islands?
Yeah.
And like there really isn't one. No, I mean, there was that unique tower dungeon system, but like...
Which is a roguelike kind of, which is crazy.
I kind of love everything I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Even though I can't obviously recall the technical name from memory because we're not sitting here with show notes.
Torghast, Tower of the Dam.
Oh, well, damn, dude. I wasn't sure about it at first. And you're like popping off names. Next you're gonna tell me you know the identity of the jailer at this point. It's gonna be it's Arthas, right? It's gotta be Arthas.
Arthas is dead.
Well, yeah.
No, it's not Arthas.
We're in the zone with all the dead.
That is
people.
True. That is true.
Like, Arthas is totally coming back. Right? Like we're
he might be in the maw. Maybe he'll just show up and say, hey, I'm there, but I'm stuck because I can't go back. I'm too much of an evil person. But I don't think... If they bring back Arthas, I won't be very happy.
I don't mean, like, resurrect him. I mean, we're going to encounter his spirit.
Oh, okay, yes. Well,
that's
yes, okay.
Gotta
for
happen.
Sure. Yes, I agree.
By back, right, I mean, yes. he will be a force to be reckoned with, although not physical.
Maybe. I think he's just going to pop up and
ghost,
say hi.
Ghost Arthas.
Yeah.
Ghost Arthas. I mean, he already popped up and said hi if you played a Death Knight through Legion.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah.
You did it wrong. You did it wrong.
And that's the other thing that's really interesting. Because you talk about Legion, so I think about class holes, and then we get to the Covenants.
Did you just say holes?
Class holes.
Oh, that makes more sense.
No, Legion.
I was like, man, who hurt you in Legion?
Covenants are essentially factions you align yourself with. And there are four choices in Shadowlands, and they give you abilities that you can... Like, everything that they talked about in that respect sounded cool. Like, the abilities, the mounts, the linking yourself to a kind of a companion. It was like soul binding. But it's not... A companion sounds boring, but this is not what it is. You get abilities that you have talent trees for that you can customize, and player agency... and customization and being able to choose what kind of upgrades you get. Like it seems they're doing away with a lot of the RNG. There's no AP grinding. It's all giving you choices about a lot of how you enjoy the game. And it seems, I hate it when people say, oh, they finally listen, because it's not like they're not listening. They're always listening. They just happen to disagree with some of the most vocal people in the community sometimes.
Well, there's a constant push and pull of wanting to innovate while also not losing what makes the game the game. I mean, at its core, that's one of the biggest challenges of an ongoing game.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, even if it's not ongoing, that's the biggest challenges of straight-up sequels to box products. And there was so much spent on the kind of deep dive panel we went to talking about what worked and what didn't.
Yeah.
And it seemed really self-aware, and I think that's fine. And to a certain degree, I don't think they're necessarily like showing their belly to their harshest critics, but I think a lot of us, like the general public, there are things we think they've gone too far and other things that we like, and I think that's who I thought they were talking to. It was kind of like, hey, general WoW player that's been around since Vanilla or BC or Lich King, you know, do you think we went too far? We think we went too far. Here's the cool older things that are coming back.
And I think that's important to understand is that if you constantly listen to the people who don't like things, you're paralyzed and you never change anything. And I don't think that's good either. But yes, you do need to have the clarity of mind of sometimes saying, okay, these things we tried, it seemed interesting, but it ended up not working.
Yeah.
And so rolling them back. And talking about changing things, the level squish is, you know, a thing which is just going to be a bunch of numbers. But what it means for the leveling experience is really interesting. And the fact that you can choose an expansion to level through for your alts, and it's going to be so much faster. They said 60 to 70% faster, which is crazy.
For 10 to 50.
Like, yes, that's 10 to 50.
That's Banana Town. But it's needed. It's really neat.
I guess so.
And that's the kind of thing where I look at him like, there's an example of like really stepping away from the classic mentality of the really long leveling experience, because that's not what retail is about.
Yeah.
In retail, the majority of the player base
is at end
exists within the new zone, the new expansion. And yeah, leveling is cool, and it should be, and it should, you should have to go through it at a certain degree, but it shouldn't feel like a chore.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel gated. You should be kind of excited to go do it, to have that experience, to learn your class. And that's what I like. There was definitely a split in that presentation about, here's the ways we've learned and we're taking a new step. We're trying something new and experimenting and taking a risk in the leveling. And here's your favorite old abilities that are coming back. Here's what we've learned from looking to the past for inspiration. I don't know. I thought it was a fantastic presentation, and it got me really... I mean, I was already excited because, like I said, that cinematic, just all I ever wanted to see. But I really doubled down after the panel because it hit on so many things I was curious about. They didn't mention flying. I'm hoping to God that they're like, hey, we're not going to make you grind rep endlessly to fly.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold
my
breath.
Two patches into the experience. Because like that's the thing. I don't know. That's my personal torch, like, that I will carry to my grave, is that they settled on the wrong way to unlock flying. Yeah. But whatever.
We'll see. It's a side thing, I guess. But you played the game.
Yeah, I did.
It's the one I didn't. So
yeah, they've got Bastion playable on the floor, the zone of Bastion, which, I'll be honest, probably the one I'm the least interested in. It's like beautiful winged blue skinned Greek goddess and gods walking around in togas, and they're wonderful. Mm. I want some friggin' vampires.
You're such an edgelord.
Dude, I love, I'm like a gothic romance.
Okay.
Like, that's what I like. Like, like a beautiful, creepy, blood-covered vampire romance film. Like, that's my jam.
It seems that's what you're going to get.
Yes,
that
I hope
zone,
so.
Is I exactly so. That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can get down with skulls and spikes as much as the next person, but, like, a Victorian garb with gray skin and beautiful hair. That's it. That's me. Sign me up. I'm there.
But so the question I have about the game is that no matter how they dress it up, the game ends up being at its core the same, you know, go do a quest and go kill some stuff and then come back. And, you know, the moment to moment is still that, right?
It's still World of Warcraft.
Right. It is still World of Warcraft.
From classic to now, it's... Get quest, do quest, hand in quest. Like, for your...
No, because I'm saying that because, you know, sometimes you hear the presentations and you listen to the things and you watch the stuff and you're like, oh my God. And then you get to the demo and you're like, oh, well, I'm playing WoW. Which, you know, sometimes is great, sometimes isn't. I've enjoyed Legion tremendously for months and years. But it's just, yeah, that's the feeling. You go and you get a quest and that's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, you need it, though. It's still the way, like, to start the story, to see the world, to progress through it. I still think that's necessary. I know, you know, some folks have put forward, like, why don't we just get rid of that? Get rid of levels entirely. And it's like, no. I mean,
just do
still,
an end game and that's it.
I still want them, you know, I still like that carrot and stick as a way to move through a new level, like a new X amount of levels to a new end game. Like, I like that. I don't want it to go away. I was, again, another like little thing in the back of my mind was like, I hope they get rid of level scaling and zones. I like the old school progression of, if I went too far because I was curious, oh God, I shouldn't be here. I'm dead now because I stepped up.
And I guess I don't know if it is actually going to be happening because the zones are... seem separated, so I don't know that you can venture all the way into
I haven't talked to anyone about it, or you know, again, I always make this joke when we're at BlizzCon, hi listeners at home, we're on the show floor, you know more than we do,
yeah,
in terms of hard facts,
but
because, you know, we're still here running between panels and stuff,
yeah,
it's kind of irrelevant to a certain, but that's just a personal thing. I'm assuming it's still scaling because we're picking a covenant. We are selecting a covenant, so I would assume that it, because the four covenants kind of associate with four zones.
Yeah, but the thing is, so the first time you go through, you go in order through the four covenants, and you follow the story. You can't just pick it immediately. The first time you go through, you do number one, number two, number three, number four.
It's a predetermined linear progression?
Yeah. And then at the end, you choose the Covenant, but you've tried each of them, and you get the perks and the abilities. And,
Okay, I misunderstood. Okay, never mind.
And then, when you level an alt through that, since you've already done it, which is a common theme in that expansion, since you've already done it, they're like, you can choose whichever one you want, and you can choose your Covenant from the beginning, and it makes leveling an alt easier.
But you should have cut me off. You let me sit there and sound like a jackass for about a minute.
No, but the thing is, I still think there's going to be some level of scaling because the different zones seem separated. It's almost like islands, so you can't go to the zone you're not supposed to, I think. But we'll see. And the reason I was talking about that, you know, it's just a quest, quote-unquote, is that they talk about the features for endgame, where in retail, as we mentioned, even though questing and leveling is important, the real thing happens at endgame. And I would love to try out Korgath, that little roguelike type adventure, which is very developed. Mm-hmm. And that would be something that's a little bit different. The quests I will enjoy when the game comes out and, you know, I go through the story. So that's... But, yeah, so that's World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I'm really excited, you know. My narrative concerns and complaints are well documented with Sylvanas, but whatever. However she got to here, I'm anxious for the next chapter.
I have to say, okay, before we move on, I do want to mention, Sylvanas, I don't think they are quite retconning her motivation. No, Siri, shut up. I don't think they're quite retconning the story into me liking the story of BFA for Sylvanas. But
I mean, that's not what I was suggesting, because that's definitely not happening with me either.
Right. No, but I mean, it's justifying it a little bit more. Like, she's literally just trying to kill as many people as possible. I still think
maybe
it's dumb.
We may find out.
Hey, yes.
Yes.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
And this is where Patrick met a fan.
You were saying
that she is just actively trying to kill as many people as possible. And I still think
possibly. You know, maybe there's some big reveal at the end of this where...
Well, because she's working with the jailer, apparently, or at least, you know, hoping to obtain something out of that. And, yeah, anyway, well, story stuff. But I thought it was an interesting twist in the story.
Yeah. Possibly. I think so much of it is still, like, mysterious. Like, we don't really know her goal besides mass murder, and we have no idea who the jailer is other than we should be afraid of the jailer.
No, but it was like she's trying to send, because the souls are going into the Maw directly and not going through the Arbiter, and she was trying, and the jailer, and apparently herself as well, grow stronger the more souls are into the Maw, and that's why she gets all of those weird powers that we didn't know she had. And so by killing everyone, she's gaining power and sending them directly into the Maw. So there's a little bit of a logic there. It still doesn't explain why the Horde was like, yeah, she's awesome, when she was literally a psychotic murderer. Like, that's what we're learning now. But
the conversation another day, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But let's shift gears real quick to Diablo. Since Scott isn't here, let's be the surrogate for him. Diablo 4 confirmed.
Diablo 4 confirmed. He knew it, and he was only wrong 379 times.
I literally just played the demo. Like, just this moment. It is... It's weird to call something so dark, dreary, and covered in death and viscera beautiful, but it is a beautiful, dark, dreary, viscera-covered game.
So, are you a Diablo 1 and 2 child, or Diablo 3 child?
No. I didn't have a computer. we had a computer when Diablo 2 was out, but it couldn't run Diablo 2.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I really got on board with Warcraft 3. I played Diablo 2 over at my friend's, but it was never my game that I could play when I wanted to. And I tried going back post-WoW to play Diablo 2. I can't. That game is hideous. I can't play a 4x3 game. I can't believe that Diablo 2 Remastered was turned
announced.
Out not to be an announcement, because I was actually excited because I wanted to play through Diablo 2 and it not looked like butt. But here we are. I will just have to settle for Diablo 4, which is gorgeous and clearly too far out because I just want to play it.
I agree.
Totally makes sense that they didn't announce this last year because they're being pretty coy about when the hell this is releasing.
They are, for Diablo, for everything, I guess, except for...
Except Shadowlands.
Well, okay, so for Diablo and Overwatch 2, they are not saying anything, which is surprising to me, because when they talked about Overwatch the first time, they were like, beta next year. We're fine. We're doing it. And now, nothing. So I don't know. But yeah, Diablo 4, I'm also a Diablo 3 child. Mm-hmm. And it felt very comfortable. And that's reassuring to me because I think there is a lot of great stuff in Diablo 3. And I was afraid that in their quest to regain the core of what Diablo is, they would kind of abandon the great elements of Diablo 3 or pull it back a little bit too much. And it doesn't seem like they did at all. They brought the cool stuff from 2, from 1, and from 3, and they're mixing it together into an experience that is really enjoyable.
Yeah, it's the same vibe I got, was like, what do you like about Diablo? It's all here. Mm. Like, it's very much a product of all lessons learned.
Yeah.
And I can't get over how much just being able to jump up and down with the verticality within the world itself, or even just climbing, like, you know, yeah, climb down, and you actually climb down, and there's no loading screen, you're just moving up. There's a verticality to the world design that we haven't seen in Diablo before, and it seems minor until you actually sit there and experience it, and you realize just how it's just one more step into the immersion.
Yeah.
And like, I was playing a barbarian, so I was like leaping over chasms or leaping up and down from cliffs, and it was so rad.
And it's not that you can't do it in Diablo 3. It's more that Diablo 3 feels like a small mini level that's the bubble you walk around. Mm-hmm. This feels like a world you're exploring a lot more.
It feels more like there's we're going back to a more of a human touch as to what we're exploring, the world that we're in.
I guess,
as opposed, yeah, like, it doesn't feel as randomly generated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
The dungeons at least are very much randomly generated.
But
it's also kind of, I guess it's weird to say this about Diablo, but it feels a little bit lived in, or like there's life in the world, because they, with very careful touches, they integrate other players into your instance, and you see them.
Yeah, I ran across this poor sorcerer who was just getting whooped up on by a couple of named mobs, and I like leapt in, and I felt like an awesome. And then we both almost died, and we barely made it out with our lives.
And that feels better than any other, well, I guess, than Diablo with the drop-in, drop-out. It's not that. It's almost, I guess, I play a lot of Destiny, and so do you. It felt a little bit Destiny-ish, but with less people around. It's like the people were brought in when it made sense for you to encounter people.
Yes.
And, yeah, they talked about this a little bit during the panel and confirmed that feeling, which is they will bring no one in when you're supposed to be alone, but in like towns or when there is a
overworld area, before you go down into like a dank dungeon.
Exactly.
You will run across people, and it's funny because it's like the games are learning from each other. Like Destiny, when I first played, I'm like, oh, it's like kind of like Diablo with guns, and now I'm playing Diablo 4, I'm like, oh, it's kind of like Destiny.
Yeah.
But
the social aspects are very much.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
And I want to insist on this. It feels good. It doesn't feel crowded. It doesn't feel like you're forced into playing with a lot of people. It's just that they're there when it makes sense that they would be there.
When you're in a place where you're like, there would probably be other adventurers here, you will see other adventurers. And when you're in a place where you're like, I feel like I should feel isolated and terrified and lost, you're not going to see other players unless you brought them with you.
On
purpose. It just feels good. Like, it's not reinventing the wheel, for sure. It is more Diablo.
Yes.
But it is more very well-made Diablo.
We had a lot of discussions about what Diablo 4 could be. We were like, oh, maybe third person, maybe something.
I was still really hoping for that, because I just want to explore a different Blizzard world that, like, from not an isometric view.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, this game looks just so great. And it has been a while since I've gone back to Diablo 3.
Yeah.
And I loved Reaper of Souls. I played a lot of it. like a lot of Reaper of Souls. And it's been a while. And now, having literally just before we sat down to record this, played the Diablo 4 demo, I'm just like, I need this. The most negative thing for me is the weight, because I know it's going to be weight. Yeah, it's going to be kind of, like it's going to be an old school Blizzard weight. Like, we might be 2 years out.
So, knowing, you know, how much they suffered from the wait between the announcement and of Diablo 3 and the release, which was 4 years, I really think they're going to try to not repeat that.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to touch on before we move on is the gameplay, which is, I think, somewhat akin to that of Diablo 3, mm-hmm. but a lot slower, a lot more deliberate. You have to choose when you use an ability for the most part, and it's not like fireworks everywhere. Not in the visual sense, which a lot of people complain about, but at least at the level that we were playing at, it was like, don't press the abilities all the time because you won't make it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you needed to be tactical in the way that you use your abilities. Yeah. I mean, we also had a pretty pared down options as far as the abilities were concerned, so that may change.
Yeah.
But I had to, like on the Barbarian, I had to manage my rage. I was just like, okay, what am I doing? And I had one move that was like distinctly a finisher, and it left me vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And it could be good, but if I use it at the wrong time, I'm taking way more damage than I need to.
Yeah.
And that was like instantly a little mini game that I wrapped my brain around. I was like, cool.
Yeah, that gameplay loop is really...
Yeah.
And that right click when you... with the thing and the
right click on the... Oh, so you played a Barbarian as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget
what the ability is called, but it like just a visceral sense of impact.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what upheaval. I want from my Barbarian.
Upheaval.
There you go. You're... You have a,
I have a good memory for 2 days, and then I forget everything.
well, it's a good thing we recorded today. Yeah, so we should wrap this up. We got to get to another panel.
We have to. We'll talk about all of this a lot more with Scott, I'm sure, at the end of the week. Overwatch 2, I guess we are just a very quick word. It feels cool. It's more meaty than the missions in the current game. It's a weird thing. They're essentially just adding PvE. Everything else is transferring to Overwatch 1.
Yep.
But the big thing... Yeah, everything.
Yep.
The big thing is... It feels cool, but we won't know how cool it is until we have an impression on replayability. And that is impossible to judge by just one mission.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing it's going to be a little bit like in the Left 4 Dead kind of vibe, and that could be cool, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, World of Warcraft or Titan type thing.
No, I didn't get that vibe at all. Yeah. I didn't get the vibe. It just looks really fully featured. And it's not me trying to like dump on OG Overwatch, but I mean, it really, it's strange. It feels like a traditional like game on a shelf that gets sequels. It's just that it wasn't annual. We didn't get Overwatch 2 the year after Overwatch 1, but it feels that way. Like, I remember going from Gears of War 1 to Gears of War 2 and being like,
That's the
jump in what you can do in this game compared to the first one, and like Horde mode being added and that, at that time, I was like, wow, what a full, robust
update,
next step.
And, yeah.
And that's what Overwatch 2 feels very much to me like, is like it feels like console changes, like from game 1 to game 2 to game 3. So I think that's a good thing, and I think it works for Overwatch.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any hands-on time with that.
It feels cool.
I'll have to come back around.
It's fun.
It. Yeah.
Well, but
so.
We need. I think that's the one we need more info on the most.
Yeah, yeah. So we need to shut this down because we need to go see the Q&A.
Yes.
And I need to break this gear down before we move. So, everybody, I hope you enjoy this.
Later.
We'll see you in a longer form podcast very, very soon.
Absolutely.
Bye now.